Good morning. So today we've just heard Anne tell us that Christ is both priest and he is king forever. Death discontinues earthly priesthood, but not Jesus' covenant with us. Just before I begin the message for the morning, I have a story for you. If you like it, it's mine. If you don't, it's from a website called God Laughs, I think is the name of the website. So it's told that there was a certain court jester who served for many, many years his king very faithfully. However, he was a bit of a smart aleck, and one time he went too far. The king was insulted. And as kings were known to do in their day, he sentenced the jester to death. Now, given that the jester had faithfully served for many years, the king showed him grace and said, "Tell me, now how would you like to die?" The jester quickly responded, "If it's all the same to you, I'd like to die of old age." Quick thinking. So, last week, Reverend Lewis introduced us to the topic of Christ the King. And there is so much we could cover, couldn't possibly be covered in the next 10 minutes or the next 10 sermons, but I want to take it a step further. We were asked by Reverend Lewis to consider Christ as our King and what he puts in our hearts to do. In our psalm today, King David went straight to God in prayer. He's said to have lived in God for every trouble, every deliverance, giving thanks and praise. And how living like that must please God. An anonymous writer once said, "Thank God for the starlight and he'll give you moonlight. Thank him for the moonlight and he'll give you sunlight. Thank him for the sunlight and by he will take you where he himself is the light." It seemed a fitting statement for us today, for our King truly provides for all our needs. Also, in the scripture today, there was a reference to earthly priests. One earthly priest, Pope Pius XI, who lived up until 1939, instituted the Feast of the Kingship of Christ during the last century. He desired to make a solemn proclamation of Christ as King of the whole universe. And in so doing, he noted that secularism is the direct denial of the kingship of Christ, and organizing lives as if Christ doesn't exist leads to the ruin of society. As we know, Presbyterianism is a part of our Reformed tradition, and it's within Protestantism. Say that five times fast, Protestantism. Many churches are organized democratically, but the word Presbyterian, when capitalized, is applied uniquely to churches with roots in the Scottish and English churches that bore that name, originating during the English Civil War. Our theology emphasizes the sovereignty of God, the authority of scriptures, the necessity of grace through faith in Christ. King of Kings, Peace of Peace, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and the rest, so they say, is history. But how is this significant to us today? On our church website, not this one, but the Presbyterian Church in all of Canada, there was an essay that inspired me for the message this morning, and it's called A Theological Reflection on Christ the King. It was written by Paul Clark, who is Executive Director of Action Refugees Montreal. And that is a nonprofit, interfaith-inspired organization that seeks justice for refugees. And I'm going to use refugees as an example of how we can live as Christ, with him as King of our hearts. We're pretty familiar with the Bible passage about Jesus on the cross with a criminal on each side. We probably recall learning that prior to the crucifixions, the soldiers mocked Jesus. One of the criminals even says, "Save yourself and us." The other responds, "This man's done nothing wrong." We can also recall the words of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. There are innumerable people who need our help, who are mocked today. But as I said, I'm going to stick to refugees for this morning. So what about them? Are there soldiers mocking them only? Surely this is the reason many are displaced from their homes. We've all heard the news stories. Have these people done anything wrong? Perhaps their only crime is just being born nameless and born in the wrong place at the wrong time. Driving you crazy. Some people and entire countries are still not in favor of helping them, complaining too many have bogus claims. They don't speak English, or they take up too many resources, or we already have our own problems. Homeless people, natives, welfare recipients, crumbling infrastructures. We can't afford to help them. They take away our jobs. They clutter up our cities. Have you heard any of these things lately? I know I have. Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Is he simply talking about the soldiers? Folks often just do their jobs, making sure they can pay their bills. They don't want to rock any boats. But perhaps you and I know better, that when we're helping others, we're lifted up. Helping refugees is God's work too. I wonder if Christ was literally the Prime Minister of Canada or the King of England, what would he do? Would he limit the number of refugees? International law defines refugees as people who are unable or unwilling to return to their countries because of a well-founded fear of persecution.
Hello.
Yay! If Casinos was on the organ, we'd have a little flourish right now, right? Yay! It's the little things. Thank you for being my angel, Dawn. Okay, back to the message. So international law defines refugees as people who are unable or unwilling to return to their countries because of a well-founded fear of persecution, based on their race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or because they belong to a particular social group. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees reports there are over 50 million displaced people around the world. What can we do? How can we possibly give aid to that many people? I have a cousin. God love him. His name is Brad. He went to Haiti as a missionary. He met his wife there, who was also a missionary. They worked there for 14 years, and then their time there was done. They moved to Miami and continued their work with refugees. They should be retiring, but they just keep saying, there's so much more we can do, there's so much more we can do, and they loved Haiti. They fell in love with it. It's quite something. What's needed? Does it take yet another picture of a child that washed up on the shore of a beach that had been denied entrance to Canada? I hope not. What can we say about such matters with the authority of Christ? And that's why I liked Paul Clark's essay, because he gave five concrete examples, because I don't know about you, but I don't sit and ponder this all the time. Okay, I had a garage sale yesterday. I wasn't thinking about refugees per se. But I got through it. But when I went to the Lord in prayer, he reminded me about these ideas that came from Paul. First one is real simple. Just welcome the stranger.
was doing that at the garage sale yesterday. You should have seen some people. And I just gave them a cheery good morning. It looked like I scared them. One poor lady's eyes hadn't adjusted. I think that was just the light. But, you know, people just aren't used to a cheerful hello, good morning, welcome. A second thing, give till it hurts. My mother used to say that when she made me give away my toys. She just made me give away a favorite one. I didn't like her very much on those days, but I still loved her. I was still giving away toys yesterday. Some of them I hung on to. Why do we hang on to stuff? We cannot help everybody who's in trouble, but we can be Christ's agent. We can face our own fears and prejudices. That's a third thing that Paul Clark suggested. Again, we can't help everyone. We can keep our eyes and our hearts open. We can do the right thing. And if you're like me, brought up the way I was, yes, in the Presbyterian Church, I have my mother's voice in the back of my head. I can still hear it today. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And when you don't, she comes back later to haunt you and go, do the right thing. So sometimes it's having that open heart and thinking about what the right thing is that we can do. And finally, he suggests from the book of Proverbs, by me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. Good intentions are no substitute for hard thought. So we can think about it. We can't give justice to everybody who deserves it. But I have some specific examples that I hope you'll enjoy that are personal ones to me that I took interest out of. I met a lady not long ago who I'm pleased to call a friend now. And she was a refugee as a child during the Hungarian Civil War. She actually had a near-death experience crossing a river. She was dead for a few minutes. But she has never forgotten the kindness of the Austrians that took them in and the hardships, but the friendships that they faced when they got to Canada. More recently, we have our own example of Mr. Steve and his family. And I read how many languages that family speaks. If they'd gone to Quebec, they could have just kept speaking French, but they have to have English as well. Another example, in 1942, with the help of the Red Cross, William and Ethel Poy arrived in Canada with their two children from Hong Kong as refugees. Does anybody know the Poy family? Raise your hand. Know who I'm talking about? Somebody who knows. Their son became a prominent surgeon, plastic surgeon, and their daughter was our Governor General, Adrienne Clarkson. The Presbyterian Church in Canada is an officially recognized sponsorship agreement holder with Citizenship and Immigration Canada. We can and have legally sponsor refugees to resettle here, and still, more help is needed. It never ends, seemingly. Wouldn't that be a good problem to have, to put them out of business because there was no more work for them to do? Just for fun, because I knew I was going to be here this morning talking to you, last Sunday I looked up online on the Immigration Center website to see, are all those 25,000 people in Canada? I asked somebody, he said, I don't know. Well, as of last Sunday on the website, it said there were 28,640 Syrians who are now with us. So then I thought, this morning over my coffee, let me look again. How'd they do this week? As of this morning, it says 28,755. In the name of the King, let us thank God for our blessed lives and democracy, our privilege to make choices, no matter how difficult they may be. Amen. Our next hymn of praise is number 407, Praise My Soul.